It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Wolf Banesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that son of a bitch.
Colbert.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome on in. Monday edition of the show underway. Hope you had an outstanding weekend. Hope your Monday is treating you right. Thank you very much for being here, however you are tuned in. That could be on, of course, 1650 AM on 102.3 FM. On our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Appreciate the attendance very much. It is Monday, September 11th of 2023. And, of course, a day we never forget because of what took place in this country 22 years ago. Just, of course, one of those unfortunate moments where everybody remembers where they were when the terrorist attacks happened on the two World Trade Center buildings in New York City. And, you know, obviously with this anniversary having passed now or happened 22 times, it just so happened that this morning as I was getting ready for work, I actually had like a really brief moment of pause where I was like, man, 22 years, really something how that amount of time can go by, particularly in what I mentioned, like a moment where you just remember where you were, as long as you were old enough. And I'd imagine most everybody listening old enough to remember exactly what they or where they were, what they were doing at the time, what they ended up doing the rest of that day, the people they spoke to. And I think on our out of our newsroom today, reminded that it was 40 Iowans, I want to say, 40 native Iowans that, 45 native Iowans that we lost on September 11th. And not to, of course, not to diminish the loss of anybody else's life, but it was genuinely a moment in our nation's history where everybody in some form or fashion was touched by it, obviously in a devastating way. So it's just a day to reflect on and, you know, just I think if as long as you just spend some time thinking about, unfortunately, the tragedy and the people that lost their life, people that were just simply going to work. They were just going to work and they didn't get to come home. I don't want to say can you imagine because I don't want anybody to imagine. I mean, that's just an absolute nightmare. A nightmare come to life, of course. But I mean, I don't know. I don't have a psychology degree, of course. For me, I just have always tried to take a little time just to think about that day. Think about the obviously unfortunate, devastating loss of life, and just try to, you know, just if you can conjure any sort of feeling, positive feeling toward the people that are most impacted, you know, most closely impacted by those that lost their lives on September 11th. So it's a great time of year in terms of the sports calendar, but of course there's always this date which falls in the thick of it. So we never forget all those that we lost on September 11th. And if anything else, just a last thing I'll say about it here before we dive into the sports for the rest of the show is I don't know how you can't think of the first responders. You know, the police, the firemen, the Port Authority folks there in downtown New York City, everybody. I mean, I'm not even mentioning everybody. I know there's some government agencies that provided a lot of help save lives on that day. For whatever I might have to offer, just to be able to take just a little bit of time and just think about it. I mean, what you can't really do too much else. So if you're a person of faith, you know, you can pray. 9/11, we're never going to forget it. And it's crazy now to think about the amount of young kids out there, you know, that have since been born since that date. And, you know, just were not here on Earth when we were. But nonetheless, we move forward with a Monday, as I mentioned, in the thick of the sports calendar. So much going on, and we're going to get to a lot of football talk, as you might imagine, today on the show. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert. Like the Facebook page, type in 1650TheFan. You'll find us on the Zuck Machine. Hammer the like button. You'll be set and ready to go. Bookmark the website, 1650TheFan.com. That's where you get all sorts of local and statewide and national sports content, audio on demand, podcast of this show on demand. Check it out. Make it a regular stop for yourself on the World Wide Web, 1650TheFan.com. Number to dial if you want to join in with any questions or comments, 319-277-1918 or 800-913-9479. Or you can email the show, email address, cole@1650thefan.com. We're going to get to area sports news and scores here in just a few short moments. After we're done there, we'll take timeout number one, get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas. The Chicago Cubs begin a three-game road series in Colorado against the Rockies tonight. Pre-game coverage of that's going to begin at 7:05 right here on The Fan. First pitch at 7:40. Did you hear the exciting news, Cubs fans? The team's top prospect, Pete Crow Armstrong, PCA. He'd been playing in Des Moines with the Iowa Cubs for, I think, over a month, and he gets the call today to come up to the big league team. Of course, the roster's expanded by two at the beginning of this month from 26 to 28. And it's going to be curious to see how manager David Ross will utilize a young guy who will maintain his rookie status headed into next season. And I would think the Vegas odds will have him, if he breaks camp with the team, especially for the 2024 season, as one of the favorites to win Rookie of the Year, a highly, highly regarded prospect, a top 10 prospect in all of baseball. Pete Crow Armstrong, an outstanding center fielder. So that's going to be fun to watch. Makes me think about how Javi Baez, all those years ago, made his debut in Colorado and ended up hitting a game-winning home run in his debut. So hopefully the vibes are similar tonight as the Cubs take on the Rockies, and you can hear it right here on The Fan. After we get the VSiN action update, we'll get you a forecast from Megan Mulford, and then come back in the second segment. We'll break down the Cy-Hawk game, Iowa's 20-13 win over Iowa State on Saturday in Ames. Our friend David Eicholt of HawkeyeInsider.com will join the show. You follow him on Twitter, at David Eicholt. We'll get into everything David has in his notebook coming out of that game, and also get his thoughts on this Saturday's matchup for the Hawks as they will play host to Western Michigan. After we're done talking Cy-Hawk with David, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim, come back on the other side of that break, and Mark Farley, UNI football coach, met the media earlier today, including yours truly, at the Alumni Suite in the McLeod Center. And like usual, peppered coach with questions. Panthers 0-2, and man, just had a really poor second half. A poor game overall, but particularly in the second half, where Weber State, now ranked 7th in the FCS coaches poll, outscored the Panthers 17-0 in that second half for a 34-17 win in the Panthers' home opener at the Unidome, playing spoilers. And the Panthers, by all means, have to get a win on Saturday on the road at Idaho State. I will put it out there right now. That is a must-win game. The Panthers have FCS's second toughest schedule. Number one, South Dakota State. Number two, North Dakota State remain on the Panthers' schedule. And they have to win this game Saturday at Idaho State if they want to get to what's typically the magic number of 7 wins to be able to make the 2014 FCS playoff field. So some good stuff from Coach Farley today. I'll bring that to you in today's third segment. After we're done there, we'll take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time and wrap up this Monday edition of the show. All right, let's go ahead and dive right in. I'm glad we don't have time to talk about my Chicago Bears at length. Take your victory lap, Packers fans, whatever. Okay, area sports news and scores today in Metro Volleyball. Waterloo East is at rival Waterloo West. Meanwhile, in boys golf, going on today, Mississippi Valley Conference Divisional Meets. The Cedar Falls Tigers at the Mississippi Divisional Meet at Dubuque Golf and Country Club. This is boys golf. And Waterloo West hosting the Valley Divisional Meet at Irv Warren. This week's Radio Iowa High School football poll is out, and it includes 5 area teams. In Class 1A, Grundy Center remains top-ranked. Denver up 4 spots to number 5. Same with Sumner Freddy up to number 6. An 8-player, Gladbrook Rhinebeck, again top-ranked. And Don Bosco up a spot from 8 to 7. As I told you at the top, Iowa holds off that late Iowa State rally, won the Cy-Hawk game 20-13 Saturday. You heard it right here on The Fan. Hawkeyes got out to a 17-0 lead. Cyclones rallied, scored with 2:53 left to make it a 1-score game. Iowa State got the ball back late, but Iowa's defense held on 4th-and-1 to preserve the win. The victory was Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz's 200th as a Division I coach. The Hawkeyes, who lost 10-7 to the Cyclones in Iowa City last year, have won 7 of the last 8 meetings and lead the series 47-23. This Saturday, Iowa State is at Ohio. I told you Iowa is playing host to Western Michigan. Pregame coverage of Iowa State at Ohio begins at 9 a.m. on Saturday here on The Fan. UNI football still searching for its first win. Like I mentioned, Panthers lose 34-17 to Weber State. The Wildcats now rank 7th. UNI shot themselves in the foot, turned the ball over 6 times. Panthers were scoreless in the second half. With the loss, UNI now out of the FCS top 25. And the Panthers are on the road at Idaho State Saturday. Meanwhile, yesterday in women's college soccer, Iowa shut out George Mason 3-0. Kentucky defeated Iowa State 3-0. And Wartburg got past Illinois Wesleyan 1-0. In a men's match, Wartburg edged Knox 1-0. Following its win over Iowa State, Iowa back in the AP top 25 at number 25. Georgia remains top-ranked, Michigan 2nd, and Florida State is 3rd. Meanwhile, in the D3Football.com top 25, Wartburg continues to be ranked number 3. The Knights passed a big test this Saturday, winning at 16th-ranked Bethel 16-2, the 14th straight regular season win for Wartburg. The Knights open up American Rivers Conference play on Saturday against Buena Vista in Waverly. And, of course, first Sunday of NFL action occurred yesterday in earnest. Green Bay won at my Bears 38-20. Tampa Bay surprised Minnesota 20-17. Meanwhile, tonight, Buffalo takes on the New York Jets in Monday Night Football. All right, let's take this time out. We'll get you a national sports update, VSiN action update, and a forecast for the rest of this Monday. Looking into tomorrow and Wednesday, we'll come back in the next segment. We'll break it all down. Iowa's 20-13 win over Iowa State. David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, joins us next right here on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Dan Beyer.
Suspended Michigan State head football coach Mel Tucker released a statement today describing the harassment allegations made against him as, quote, completely false. Tucker, in the statement through his attorney, says that he believes there's an ulterior motive to terminate his contract, saying the investigation into the matter has not been fair or unbiased. that from Mel Tucker. A temporary restraining order has been granted against the Pac-12 by a judge who ruled in favor of Washington State and Oregon State, who are suing the conference and Commissioner George Kliavkov. That means that a meeting that was scheduled for Wednesday featuring the Pac-12 Board of Directors will not take place. Bills and Jets tonight, 8:15 Eastern Time. Bills safety DeMar Hamlin expected to be inactive for tonight's game against the Jets. Browns right tackle Jack Conklin done for the year with a knee injury. Well, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette says Steelers defensive lineman Cam Hayward will miss 8 weeks of action. He needs surgery for an injured groin. Braves topped the Phillies today in 10 innings, 10-8 in game one of a doubleheader.
Hi, it's Dan Patrick. Get the latest on Cedar Valley High School sports right here, 1650 The Fan.
As school begins, the Cedar Falls School District would like to thank grandparents, friends, and extended families for all you do to support their mission. Your sons, daughters, nieces, nephews, and grandchildren continue to inspire the community by their upbeat, resilient responses to the changes that have come their way. The Cedar Falls School's mission of excellence is embodied in their desire for continuous improvement and their goals to maximize the abilities of all students in a supportive, collaborative environment. Educating your youth is an honor and a task they take very seriously. In a time wrought with change and uncertainty, what will remain constant is the Cedar Falls School's dedication to our youth. Our future is in their hands. Always remember, their first priority is the safety of students, staff, teachers, administrators, and the community at large. Cedar Falls students, have a great year. Go Tigers!
Cedar Falls Schools, every student, every day.
First Bank is one of the few remaining community banks in this area, and our vision really matches up with endowments, foundations like the Cedar Falls Schools Foundation.
And there's nothing more community than the local public school district.
It's always been very important for our board of directors to support locally whenever we can. That extends to who we have handling our investments.
We want to be a partner to them. We want to help them be successful, and we really want them to grow.
First Bank, serving you first.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Unlike other credit cards that decline sports betting transactions, the GBank Visa Signature Card can load directly to your favorite sportsbook apps. G.Bank/VSiN.
Cubs and Rockies from Coors Field in Denver today. Jordan Wicks 3-0, 2.16 ERA, $1.76 favorite at the Rockies, +156, 11.5 over the total of Coors Field. The Rockies have dropped four straight in eight of their last 10 games. Kansas City Chiefs return to action after their Thursday night season opening loss of the Lions as 2.5-point favorites at the Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday. Week one of the NFL season will wrap up with Monday Night Football today, Bills laying 2 at the Jets. College football Saturday, Iowa State a 2.5-point favorite at Ohio. Iowa laying 27 at home with Western Michigan. Mike Sennett, 1650, The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Lows around 48 tonight under mainly clear skies, north winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 71. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Partly cloudy skies again. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 46. Daytime highs approaching 71. Wednesday, under mainly sunny skies. 76 Thursday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 75.
Welcome back to Cole and Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan app.
I'm really thrilled to get the win. Really proud of our players and coaching staff. You know, we knew coming in here was going to be really tough. I can't remember a time more than that. Hasn't been the case. We knew that. It certainly was. It proved out to be that way.
Of course, that's Iowa football coach Kirk Ferentz talking about his team's win in Ames over the Iowa State Cyclones on Saturday. Coach Ferentz's 200th win as a Division I college football coach. And joining us now to break it all down, our friend David Eichold of HawkeyeInsider.com. Make sure you're following him on X, at David Eichold. David, thanks so much for being here, man. How are you today?
Doing good. I don't know if I'll ever get used to calling Twitter X, so that might just be me, but kudos to you for for doing that. But, you know, after everything I said about last week, Cole, I'm doing all right because I would be on freezing cold takes had the result gone the other way.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could have predicted you and I to beat Iowa State, so, I mean, it could be a lot worse.
I did. It's fine. Everything's fine.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't going to miss the opportunity to put us both on blast for that. It's all right. I've gotten my helping of crow pie already this football season, but that's the beauty and the madness of football that we all love. David, obviously the Iowa defense played great, but was this the Jazz Patterson game?
Yeah, I think so, Cole. And, you know, again, I know the final score is 20-13. I was texting a couple other people during this game, and I said, you know, it really wasn't that close. Once Iowa went up 17-0, it just seemed like they controlled the entire game. As you mentioned, Iowa's defense is outstanding. Jazz Patterson, though, man, like, this is a guy that every time we asked Kirk Ferentz about Caleb Johnson last season, he brought up Jazz Patterson every single time. And at first, I thought it was to take the pressure off of Caleb Johnson. But now I'm thinking he was trying to subtly hint to the media that, hey, Jazz Patterson's going to be a guy that contributes. And I think we saw that on full display during Iowa's win, 10 carries, 86 yards, and a touchdown. And the thing that stood out to me was just how he runs with such reckless but controlled aggression. He initiates contact. He explodes through the line of scrimmage in a way that I don't think I've seen Iowa running back do that since Brandon Wegher. I mean, I think it's been 12 to 13 years since I've seen Iowa running back explode through the hole. But very high upside guy. His pass blocking, I thought, was tremendous. Took out two guys on one of Iowa's longer passing plays of the day. And the way he contorted his body, he said it was on purpose. And on film, it certainly looks like that as well. So maybe Patterson sneaking up into that kind of 1B category, or at least as the number two running back on this team. But you're right. I was very, very impressed with what he brought to the table on Saturday.
Yeah, and I would imagine Iowa fans are going, it's obvious we've got talented guys at the running back position, and just add a Jazz Patterson in here, and it's going to be a matter of, okay, who's going to be the running back that can produce most consistently with an offensive line that may well not get to the level that we're accustomed to? Maybe that offensive line will only get to, if you're giving it a letter grade, like a B minus or a B this season. But sometimes you can have talents at other positions, whether it be quarterback or running back, that can transcend the people around them. And I think that would just be, if I'm an Iowa fan, and I would, by nature of who I am, I'd be cautiously optimistic that, well, maybe we got a guy here that can kind of lift up guys around him.
You know, the other thing, too, and I know this is going to be an unpopular opinion, Cole, quite frankly, I thought Brian Ferentz called a pretty good game for the most part. I think Iowa just didn't execute in some circumstances. I mean, Iowa had opportunities in the deep ball, right? They had, you know, Cade McNamara missed Deontay Vines. That would have been a walk-in 91-yard touchdown because Vines has, man, beat, overthrew him slightly, and Cade said after the game that he feels like he has to buy Deontay Vines dinner because that was solely on him. And Luke Lachey and Asen Ostrenga ran into each other in the end zone. That looked like it would have been a touchdown. So it wasn't Cade's best game, and I think part of that was due to the 2 weeks he missed in fall camp. We saw the timing just a little bit off. But to go back to your point, I think it's an interesting one. But what I would counter with is we're kind of seeing Iowa's rushing attack try some new things. I mean, some of Iowa's longer plays were on halfback counters, which haven't been popular under Kirk Ferentz or Brian Ferentz. They're running more toss plays. They're kind of going away from that zone running scheme. So, while, again, the numbers aren't necessarily there, I think Iowa fans should be encouraged that they are trying some new things. And I think Connor Colby put together one of his better performances on that 59-yard run by Patterson. Colby came across on that counter and delivered one of the best blocks of his career. That really set it all up. So, yes, they want consistency, but again, I think we're seeing signs with this offense that give us more signs of optimism than we did last year.
And just to put some of those uncommon run plays on film for opponents, whether Iowa is actually going to run them frequently, that should have some value to it, David. Just the fact that defensive coordinators are going to have to know it's something that Iowa has run, that they've proven they're capable of running. And if there's one thing I know for sure, covering college football as long as I have, when you run one of them counters or toss plays and you're pulling a guard or a tackle, them big uglies love getting out there in space and wrecking dudes.
I just wish I could have saw it more when Iowa had Tristan Wirfs at offensive tackle.
Oh, yeah.
Because with that athleticism, with that speed, that's a guy that loved to go in that second, third level and absolutely lay out somebody half his size.
David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, 24/7 Sports Network. Our guest right now on this Monday edition of Cole & Company, breaking down Iowa's Cy-Hawk win over the Clones 20-13 on Saturday at Jack Trice Stadium. Make sure you follow David on X at David Eicholt. When it comes to that Iowa defense, David, got to give you a shout-out. You had mentioned before the season began, Sebastian Castro. He's been great through two games and really put the exclamation point on his body of work so far with the 30-yard pick six in Saturday's win. This is just a guy that it seems like the sky might be the limit for him. I mean, what are we talking about? Is there a comp you can think of? I mean, what all is he bringing to this defense?
You know, I think the first guy that comes to mind, I would think of maybe kind of a mesh between Geno Stone and Amani Hooker.
Okay.
Because Sebastian Castro has a knack. He's an extremely hard-hitting safety, but it's a guy that knows how to recover fumbles, force fumbles, and he can get after it in the run game. I think he's tailor-made for that sort of cash role. But he's a guy that I think is a nice mesh between Amani Hooker and Geno Stone. I think he provides the hard hitting. I still think he has a little bit of work to do in coverage, but that pick six shows how far he's come. I think he could have been the MVP of Iowa's bowl win this past season. I thought he was one of the best players on the field. But he's a guy that if he continues to play to his capabilities, I think he can really, really play a major role in where this Iowa defense is, because I really don't know where they are right now, Cole. I still think they're a potential top 10 defense in the country, but I'd still like to see some other things kind of begin to roll together. But the other thing is, and I give credit to Utah State and Iowa State for this, the way they're running their offense, they're trying to take out Iowa's defensive line and put a lot of pressure on the secondary and linebackers to make plays, because there's a lot of quick routes they're doing. They're not allowing pass plays to develop, and I do think that's partially because of Iowa's deep defensive line. And Sebastian Castro has done a really nice job of just stepping up and staying in his keys and making things happen.
David got a, of course, two-game body of work now, and maybe you hinted at it a little bit there, but is there anything that is just blatant at this point where it's like, well, that's just going to have to get better if you want to, you know, continue to be squarely in the picture to win the Big Ten West?
Wide receiver usage. I mean, I don't think an Iowa wide receiver had a reception until the second half, and it was a good drive. I mean, Nico Reggiani had a pair, Seth Anderson had a great fingertip grab, Deontay Vines had one. Iowa tried to get Caleb Brown involved twice, one of which I think would have been a touchdown had it not been bad down at the line. But Iowa has to really get the perimeter game going. It's going to open up things for Jazz Patterson, for Caleb Johnson. I love what I'm seeing from Luke Lachey and Eric All, but the way you're going to space out the defense is by hitting some of those deep passes. So if I'm Iowa going into this week, I let Cade McNamara do three-step drop back and just start ripping it down the field, get those wide receivers some confidence. And I'd also like to see Nick Jackson continue to improve as a guy in coverage. I think we've seen flashes of what he can do, but I think he needs to continue to get better there. And then we need to see this Iowa defensive line just start to garner up more sacks. But again, to be fair to them, I really don't think they've had the opportunity to do that this season.
How about anything you heard from Coach Ferentz or any of the players after that win on Saturday against Iowa State? Anything in particular that's still front of mind for you in terms of what you got on the recorder after that game?
You know, I think the big thing for me is, and it's something I didn't realize in the storyline going into the game, but Iowa went into that game against Iowa State incredibly motivated. They talked about how Iowa State was kind of dancing in the student and players' faces after last season's loss when Iowa swarmed it to get off the field. Iowa State players were trying to get in the middle of it and block them from being able to do that. And Jazz Patterson said that fueled him up and he held the grudge all season long. Cooper DeJean said he remembered that. Torrey Taylor said he remembered that. So my point is, if Iowa's holding on to that sort of disrespect factor from something like that, How will that apply when they go up against a Penn State? How will they apply that when they go up against an Illinois, a Nebraska? If they kind of keep that mentality, I really, really like where Iowa's ceiling is this season. And to be quite frank with you, Cole, the Big Ten West is worse than even I thought heading in this season. And it increases my confidence that Iowa has to win this division. I really don't think there's any excuses.
Did you get to see any of Colorado beating the brakes off Nebraska?
Oh, we all knew it was happening, right?
Well, didn't Vegas have a 4-point spread on that bad boy or something?
Yeah, it's because everybody loves betting Nebraska for some reason. That's why they give them odds to win the national title every year.
Oh, man.
I mean, let's call it like we see it, Cole. And the other thing is, and there's a long time for this, but Nebraska's offense might rival Iowa's last season.
What?
Based on what I've seen.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, Sims is not the guy. He's just not the guy. And, I mean, it just looks like a coach that was hired to have a 5-year rebuild. And Nebraska fans being Nebraska fans, they can't get out of their own way. And it's like, hey, guess what? It's going to take time. Took this guy time at Temple, took him time at Baylor, but he got it right. But Nebraska fans, as we well know, they don't have a damn bit of patience.
No, they don't. And I get I kind of get the urgency behind it. I mean, they haven't been relevant this century. Maybe 2002, I'll give them that. But, you know, that's a proud fan base, and they're a frustrated fan base. I mean, I know that better than anybody, considering I went to school there. But you're right, man. I mean, I still don't think Matt Rhule was necessarily the guy. But Deion Sanders and that team are for real, man.
Yeah.
Shedeur Sanders might be a top 5 pick going in whenever he decides to end in the draft. And they got some weapons on that team. That Vegas got the 3.5 with them. Very, very wrong on the win.
Yeah. Yeah, and I heard Vegas took a big hit on that. And they deserved it, quite frankly. Like, that spread should have been larger, no doubt about it. Hey, I want to ask you, I mean, you've already gotten under the skin of some Nebraska fans, I'm sure, so maybe in this case, let's go for Iowa State. Because, I mean, I had my takeaway from Iowa State after being in Ames and watching them beat UNI. So I'm curious, and I'll tell you afterwards, but what did you think of Iowa State? Do you give them much of a chance to get to 6 wins and bowl eligibility?
No. I think there's things that can be encouraged about. I still like the defense a lot. I think that's a very talented secondary. I think TJ Tampa's legit. I'd still like to see him get a couple more picks and force a fumble. But he's got the athleticism. He's got the speed. He's got the tackling. I was impressed with him. I liked Rocco Becht, actually, because he stood in the pocket I don't know how many times and delivered the ball despite taking a giant hit. I think there's a lot of toughness there. But, you know, they just got ravaged by the gambling investigation. And, you know, I have sympathy for the kids who didn't bet on their own team. But the guys that did bet on their own team, I have no sympathy for.
Yeah.
But, you know, Matt Campbell's in a tough spot. I think Abu Sama can be a really good running back, but they just don't have any wide receivers right now. It's going to be tough for them, I think, Cole.
Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, you hit it on the nose. Secondary's great. Are they going to be able to take the ball away enough? They didn't last year. Sama does look good. Beck looks like a pretty solid game manager, but a path to 6 wins in the Big 12, I mean, that it doesn't look, it's not clear whatsoever what that path would look like right now. So I'm there with you. I think they could win 5, maybe they win 6, but I wouldn't bet on it.
This weekend's going to be huge for them, and they're only 2-point favorites against Ohio. Like, if they lose this game, I think the wheels could fall off.
Yeah, they had to get the UNI game. They have to get the Ohio game to have a snowball's chance, and you know what. So, road Mac game. That's some interesting scheduling, but they got to have it.
I hear you, brother.
And we're all out of time, so we cannot talk about yesterday's Bears-Packers game. Thanks for joining me, David.
Oh, I know. I was waiting to see if you were going to bring that up.
We're all out of time, David, so we'll have to let you go. Thanks for being here, okay? Have a great day.
Take care, buddy.
David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, kind enough to join us on this Monday edition of Cole & Company. Subscribe to HawkeyeInsider.com. Follow David on X at David Eicholt. All right, before we take this next time out, I've been telling you about Cooper's Tap Room, open at the bottom of College Hill in Cedar Falls. It's the type of place that, even though it's brand new, it's got the feel of a longtime local establishment. Of course, as a tap room, it's got a wide array of ice-cold tap beers, signature and seasonal drinks, a delectable, unique menu, and an environment you desire. TVs all around. They've got the NFL Sunday Ticket. So I know there was plenty of people there yesterday enjoying that. You can find out more at cooperstaproom.com, or you can find out the most by joining me and the sports writers. Ethan Petrick and Jim Nelson of the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier will join me at Cooper's Tap Room tomorrow for a special edition of the show on location from 5 to 6. We'll talk a lot of UNI, Iowa, and Iowa State football. Ethan was covering Iowa, Iowa State, and Ames on Saturday, so I sat next to Nelly at Saturday's UNI football game. Meanwhile, me and Ethan were both in Ames 2 weeks ago to cover UNI, Iowa State. So all of us have seen all three teams, and I think we'll be able to have some insightful conversation, and we'd love to be able to do that with as many of you there as possible. And like I said, it's a great new establishment at the bottom of College Hill in Cedar Falls, 2002 College Street. Ice cold drinks and beer, great food, great environment, great service, and we'll do our damnedest to put on a great show. So come join us tomorrow night for Cole and Company between 5 and 6 at Cooper's Tap Room in Cedar Falls. All right, let's take this next time out. We'll get you Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. Come back on the other side of the break, and we'll talk UNI Panther football. Coach Mark Farley met the media today after the Panthers suffered a real tough 34-17 home opening loss to now 7th-ranked Weber State on Saturday. We'll break it all down here from Coach Farley next, right here on The Fan.
This Radio Iowa Sports Report is brought to you by Your Life Iowa. Free support 24-7 at yourlifeiowa.org.
Good afternoon. I'm Todd Kim. UNI coach Mark Farley says the Panthers need to find a way to protect quarterback Theo Day. In two games, Day has been sacked 10 times, including 5 in Saturday's 34-17 loss to number 9 Weber State.
Sometimes it's personnel. Maybe it's the right combination, but there's scheme, there's personnel, and there's communication that affect all those. And all three have been a part of one of those sacks that we speak of now.
The Panthers take an 0-2 record on the road this week to Idaho State. Iowa senior defensive back Sebastian Castro has been named the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week. Castro returned an interception 30 yards for a touchdown in the Hawkeyes' 20-13 win at Iowa State. The 25th-ranked Hawkeyes return to action at home this week against Western Michigan. This is Radio Iowa.
Hi, it's your friend social media. You know, where friends and creators seem so cool. But don't fall for my quick cuts. We all have struggles and challenges, like with alcohol or drug use or our mental health. Talking about these struggles is a sign of strength. Your Life Iowa can talk to you about treatment or resources. Get free 24/7 confidential support. Call, text, or chat online at yourlifeiowa.org. A message from Iowa HHS.
The will of a farmer is like no other, forged by the strength of generations past, propelled by the hope of what lies ahead. Unpredictability cannot shake its resolve. It wears a coat of courage and commitment, boots made of love for the land. At BASF, we support you with tools for tomorrow, new chemistries, seed traits, and technologies, because we know the world's future will be fed by the will of a farmer. BASF, helping you do the biggest job on earth.
This is Dan Knipp with Air Services Heating and Air Conditioning. We focus a lot on customer relationships. Probably 80 to 90% of our customers are return customers. We provide both commercial and residential installations or replacements. A lot of our business is referral work. We put a lot of work in the front end value and quality of installation and systems. You can find us on the web, airservicesHVAC.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Just give us a call at 319-287-5858, and we'd love to hear from you.
Let me grab my car keys and we'll roll.
We still going to that new bar downtown?
Yeah, it's supposed to be fun. Lexi, give me driving directions from home to downtown bar district.
Autocorrect. Suggest Uber. Pick up. Home. Drop off downtown bar district.
No, I'm driving.
Suggest the Metro bus. Departing in 12 minutes.
Huh. Point taken, Lexi. We'll grab a ride.
If you drink, don't drive. Decide to Ride, brought to you in partnership by Anheuser-Busch, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and Uber.
Fall is here, and there is something for everyone at the Family YMCA. Register now for youth dance and flag football. Swim lessons begin at the end of the month. Before and after school programs are ramping up. Taekwondo is available for all ages and abilities. 40-plus fitness classes per week to meet your athletic level. Free wellness orientations to get you started in the right direction. The Family YMCA, strengthening the foundations of our community.
Are you ready to unlock the future of Midwestern agriculture? For generations, the American heartland has sustained our nation with the crops needed to feed and fuel our economy. As we look to the future, our success depends on the ability to adopt innovative methods that will ensure lasting economic success for our region. That's where carbon capture comes in. Carbon capture technology is an essential tool for growing our economy. By adopting carbon capture, Midwestern communities can expect thousands of new jobs, billions in local investment, and increased value to our agriculture. Carbon technologies will provide more economic opportunities for farmers than ever before, while ushering in a new age of sustainable innovation. Let's start building a brighter future for our farmers and rural communities today. Visit smartcarbonnetwork.com to learn more.
We're going to skate to one song only.
You're listening to Cole and Company on The Fan in the Cedar Valley at 102.3 FM and across Eastern Iowa at 1650 AM.
Welcome back. Monday edition of the show continues. We just got done breaking down Iowa's Cy-Hawk win on Saturday in Ames, and David Eichel of HawkeyeInsider.com joined us. If you missed it, it'll be available by the top of the hour in podcast form at 1650thefan.com. We go from talking Hawkeyes and Cyclones to UNI Panthers. And speaking of, they could not get out of their own way in a 34-17 home opening loss to 7th-ranked Weber State on Saturday. The Panthers lost 3 fumbles, and quarterback Theo Day threw 3 interceptions. UNI gave up 5 sacks in the for a second straight game, and 6 penalties also proved particularly costly. Coach Farley met the media earlier today and said it was the type of film that you bite your lip both before and after you watch it.
Yeah, you got to bite your lip after you watch, after you take it out too. It was the errors, and the errors being the cardinal sins of football, which is turnovers and explosive plays and sacks, is what you always go to, that you preach about from when you're a little kid all the way through the end. And those were the 3 things that showed up multiple times, not just a few times. And that's what's got to get corrected.
With 10 sacks allowed of quarterback Theo Day through 2 games, Coach Farley says there's a number of things to point toward for why those protection issues have happened.
It's really got to be coordinated. You've got 5 offensive linemen, you got tight ends, you got running backs, and you got quarterbacks calling protections. Everybody's got to be in sync, and then plus you have to have great technique. So there's no question that is an emphasis that's got to get cleaned up immediately. And I mean not just get better, it has to get a lot better. So that's where the emphasis is, and sometimes it's personnel. Maybe it's the right combination, but there's scheme, there's personnel, and there's communication that affect all those. And all 3 have been a part of one of those sacks that we speak of now. So it's the emphasis and the detail put into that, and the player awareness and commitment to it is definitely going to be the difference to turn the tide.
In mentioning scheme and personnel, I asked Coach Farley, how important is continuity with the offensive line? Your starting combination against Ames, or against Iowa State, I should say, had guys in different spots than on Saturday against Weber State. In fact, the Panthers had a musical chairs of sorts where Tristan Roper came back, started at left tackle. That moved Jared Penning from left tackle to right tackle. Blake Anderson, who started at right tackle against Iowa State, moved to left guard. Carson Petlin, who started at left guard against Iowa State, moved to right guard. The only guy who stayed in the same place was senior center Chase Aarons. So, Coach Farley, how important is it that continuity get established on that offensive line sooner than later?
I think the continuity is critical. That's the brotherhood within a brotherhood, and that's developed over years of working together. That's guys that
move at the same speed because you've played together, can communicate very quickly. And when you're playing with a guy side by side and passing off twists and things like that, the levels that you're at and the consistency you have to play with at the same speed really shores up the gaps. But if one guy's setting deeper than the other, it opens up cracks. So the continuity or things like that. But you said a lot when you said, you know, we've got an inexperienced offensive line and we've got an inexperienced secondary technically by age, and that's where the big plays were given up are happening. So either we got to, how do I want to say, we have to not shorten our package, take some stuff out of our package to simplify, but also it's execution. And how we get to execution, you either simplify or you players have to, we have to do a better job getting them lined up and getting the right combination together.
Along with the protection issues, the Panthers have struggled to pressure the quarterback themselves through two games this season with zero sacks. It's an issue that goes back to last season when the Panthers had 17 total sacks in the 2022 season. That was its lowest total since 2012. Coach Farley, is it a circle the wagons moment here to try to figure out how to get more production out of your pass rush?
We got the intercept. We only got the one turnover in two games as well. So you got to get turnovers. You got to swing the pendulum with sacks. We've got neither. I thought our defensive line, because everybody relates to them when you say sacks, I thought our defensive line really played well against the run. We stepped up, man. You watched the run. That was a heavy run team. That's a 400-yard rushing team, 300-yard rushing team every day of the week. And but I tell you what, I thought K-Dub, Christian Boyd really did a nice job inside. I thought Carter Hewitt did a nice job inside. I thought Cordarius Bailey did a nice job inside, Devin. But we didn't get the sack either. And I think that also has something to do with our secondary, okay? Because the secondary is just as big as a sack as it is the linemen themselves, because that ball's coming out on time. And that ball should not come out on time all the time if you're playing the coverage that you need to be in and playing with the right technique, execution. So sacks are glorified by who gets them, but there takes 10 other guys to make it happen for the one guy who gets them too. But we didn't get any speed off the edge. We don't get the one guy making a play that we've had in years that you're getting 17, 24 sacks. You know, that guy needs to show up too. So there's some individual attention we got to put into it, but also some schematic things that make it happen.
Meanwhile, senior quarterback Theo Day has thrown 5 interceptions in the first two games. He's been sacked 10 times. Coach Farley acknowledged today that the preseason All-American signal caller is struggling.
He's struggling, and he's struggling maybe because he's getting hit. So a lot of things going on there. And, you know, that he's not meeting the expectations of anybody, including himself. He's probably more hard on himself than anybody else is. So, one, you got to give the guy time, all right? That will help create confidence. You can see we're sitting 3rd and 18 and getting first downs. When we have the time, we've got and get the execution, it's pretty clean out there against everybody. But it ain't clean when you're throwing interceptions and getting sacked either. So it's not a name to put on it. Everybody's looking for names. I'm looking for units because it's more than just one guy. We can get a guy for football. There's going to be a technique error. I mean, it's football if you play at the right speed. But man, when you got units breaking down, then you're starting to get numbers like we're talking about that are obvious that need to get corrected.
After Saturday's loss to Big Sky Conference opponent Weber State, I asked Coach Farley today, does the risk outweigh the reward when it comes to the MVFC Big Sky Challenge Alliance as far as non-conference scheduling is concerned? The Big Sky and Missouri Valley Football Conference, the undeniable preeminent conferences in college football's subdivision, is this scheduling alliance necessary, or are these two conferences just cannibalizing one another?
Schedule plays.
Here we go.
Well, your statement is 100% correct. You could debate this, Big Sky, Missouri Valley, scheduling. You could debate that all day long, and I've seen both sides. Ultimately, what I really believe is the difference is how the committee makes decisions on strength of schedule, and each year it's different. No matter what they say, those guys sitting in those chairs, sometimes strength of schedule plays in your favor. Some years it doesn't, okay? And I've been on both ends of it. So it's more who that committee member is and where they come from probably than anything else and how the season plays out. So I wish I had a better answer, but that's the only answer I can figure out after all these years.
Meanwhile, the Panthers have the challenge of a road game, which creates a shorter week of prep, despite all that needs to be fixed. So, Coach Farley, how about that? Shorter week, less prep time, and a lot to address.
Yeah, again, you got a short week, but it's obvious it's got to get done. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's a long or short week. We've got to get it done going into this week because, you know, this team is they've played two FBS teams, and it's their first home game. So they'll be excited, and they're probably licking their chops about what they can do. So we just have to get our act together in the phases that we're giving up big plays. So short week or no short week, we got to get it done. And then we can figure things out once we hit the open day. But we got a three-game run here, and this third game is one that we've got a lot of loose ends that we got to get cleaned up.
And that third non-conference game will be against Idaho State at Holt Arena in Pocatello. The Bengals, picked last in the Big Sky preseason poll, are led by a first-year coach. However, they are averaging over 300 yards passing per game. Coach Farley, how does that make you feel?
They're throwing the ball on us right now, and that's all these guys do. So, yeah, there's not much time to take lunch this week because there's a lot to clean up and a lot to get done in the faces of the game that they'll try to exploit as they should, because that's what's on film. And you're going to get exploited if it's on film. And we've been exposed, and the only way you clean that up is get better at what you do, because they're going to attack it in very similar ways.
All right, let's take this timeout, final timeout, NFL Network update. Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. We come back and wrap up the show right after this.
I'm Chris Rose with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Kickoff Sunday did not disappoint. Tua Tagovailoa threw for 466 yards and three scores as the Dolphins outlasted the Chargers 36-34. The Browns dominated the Bengals 24-3 as Joe Burrow was held to a career-low 82 passing yards. Brock Purdy threw for two scores in the Niners' 30-7 win over the Steelers. The Falcons beat the Panthers 24-10, picking off number one overall pick Bryce Young twice. The Ravens beat the Texans 25-9. However, Baltimore running back J.K. Dobbins suffered a torn Achilles. He is done for the year. The Packers beat the Bears by 18. The Raiders held off the Broncos 17-16. Rams upend the Seahawks 30-13. Eagles handed the Patriots a loss 25-20. Jags beat the Colts 31-21. Bucks topped the Vikings by 3. Saints beat the Titans. The Commanders controlled the Cardinals 20-16. And Sunday Night Football, the Cowboys shut out the Giants. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Refresh your home with 11% off everything at Menards. Keep your home's exterior protected with Menards' great selection of Dutch Boy paints and stains. DuraClean paint provides a weather-resistant coating with crack and fade resistance. Pick up a gallon of DuraClean exterior paint and primer for $32.89 after 11% off. Good through September 17th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Well, it's official. It's Overreaction Monday, and just like every Monday after week one in the NFL, we have plenty of performances to overreact to. The Eagles look slow against the Patriots, barely escaping with a five-point victory. Joe Burrow had just 82 yards passing and a double-digit loss to the Browns. The Rams pummeled the playoff-caliber Seahawks in Seattle, and the Lions beat Kansas City in Kansas City. Every week matters in the NFL. We just can't keep jumping to conclusions after just one game. Go back to last season. Do you remember Carson Wentz? He lit up the Jags for 300 yards and four touchdowns. He doesn't play in the NFL anymore. The Bears knocked off the NFC championship-bound San Francisco 49ers. They ended the season with the number one overall pick. So take everything in from week one. Enjoy it. But just remember, a lot can change from week one to January. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. The NFL is back, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving you a can't-miss offer for Week 1. New customers can get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5 on any NFL game. Plus, all customers can take advantage of two new offers every single game day in September. New customers, make sure you download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use the code Patrick, and take home $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code Patrick, only on DraftKings Sportsbook.
Gambling problem?
problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See dkng.co/football for eligibility terms and responsible gaming resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply.
Busted.
It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show with Cole Bear on 1650 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back for a final time on this Monday. Got to thank David Eichold of HawkeyeInsider.com. Just looked at the Cubs lineup for tonight with top prospect Pete Crow Armstrong, officially now a part of the 28-man big league roster. He's not starting tonight, but the Cubs are facing a lefty, if I'm not mistaken. So you're seeing some of those lefty killers, if you will, that left-handed or lineup against left-handers that you're familiar with, which typically has a Patrick Wisdom in there and a Nick Madrigal, among a couple other guys. I'm thinking that if the Cubs can get that left-hander out of the game from the Rockies, that you're going to see Pete Crow Armstrong at some point in this game. I get the feeling, if nothing else, he's going to play a lot of games in terms of if he doesn't start, he'll get in late as a defensive replacement, because you're talking about a guy where minor league players and all of their different skills, you know, fielding, base running, hitting, so on and so forth, are rated on a 40 to 80 scale. 40, 50, 60, 70, or 80. 80s are hardly ever given out. Pete Crow Armstrong has a 80 grade for his outfield defense. I mean, this guy, if he can stay healthy, ought to be a future Gold Glove winner. So, extra exciting night of Cubs baseball. Pregame coverage begins at 7:05 here on The Fan. Game one in Colorado against the Rockies. Come see me tomorrow, the show, 5 to 6 at Cooper's Tap Room at the bottom of the College Hill. Have a great night, everybody.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.